Welcome to the weekly podcast of the Voice of Healing Radio with Michael Petro. VOH Radio brings an in-depth understanding of the scriptures prophetically, rich revelation of the early church apostolic fathers, and biblical interpretation of the biggest news and political stories of our day. Take VOH Radio with you on the go. Listen on demand weekly. New programs released every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Radio.com, TuneIn, and more. To partner with us, please go to voh.church/radio. That's voh.church/radio. Or email us at radio@voh.church. You know, when I think about the growing impact of the Voice of Healing Radio, I think about all those that have been reached throughout the world who have reached out to us about the radical changes in their life and their desire to go deeper in the Word of God. We want to invite you in partnering with us to continue sending the gospel to the nations. There's a desire for Jesus more than ever before. For the gift of $50, we want to send you VOH Radio hat and t-shirt for the month of January. And for your gift of $100, we will send you three items, the VOH hat, t-shirt, and hoodie. The t-shirt and hoodie feature a quote from one of my favorite early church fathers, Origen. This is our gift to you for partnering with us here at VOH Radio. Visit voh.church/radio to donate now. You're listening to the Voice of Healing Radio with Michael Petro. Blessings. This is Mike Petro. I'm here with the Voice of Healing. It's good to be with you this afternoon. Hey, man, I was thinking about 2 Timothy, and I thought, you know, let me share this afternoon. So I changed things up a little bit, and I thought it would be great just to talk about how that, you know, what is going to be happening at the end of time. These scriptures, I noticed, are not really spoken of much in the body of Christ. It's because it just goes against, you know, the sloppy agape messages that are out there that everything's going to be all right, you know. I went to a church not too long ago, just last week, and they were doing a Christmas play, and I was shocked at what I watched. I was like, this is the church, and this is the way we're reaching people now. Where is the power of God? Where's the power of the Holy Spirit? Where is the power that heals and delivers and sets people free? And one of the things that the Lord really has put in my heart is that we need, in the body of Christ, to be back in that area of the power of God being released so that people can be transformed from, you know, mental illnesses and different things, things where people need to have that power of the Lord Jesus Christ manifesting in their body to set them free from, really, the Bible says, all the work of the enemy. And yet we want to entertain people in the church, and our churches are starting to look more like nightclubs than light clubs. We really are in that season of missing the intention of God. Really, when we look at what's happening within the body of Christ, Jesus never preached about any of this. But I want to get into some of this right now. I'm going to start off in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I encourage you, you know, get on our website, voh.church, and, you know, get my book, The Priesthood is Changing. And we need to understand why that priesthood is changing, hallelujah, because God is getting ready to take us through the veil. That's why I named that book, Access Behind the Veil. We're going from an old priesthood to a new priesthood, and we really need to find our position. But let's see what the apostles in the early church said about this. Said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Isn't it interesting? He's saying that we should be able to preach the word. And right now we know that the church is in a state of biblical illiteracy, meaning over 80% of people professing to know the scripture or to be a Christian don't even know the scripture. That has been done by several biblical manufacturers. They just want to see how many people were reading the Bible and what they're finding Christians are not reading their Bible. And isn't that amazing in itself? Because the whole early church was about 3 years of studying the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, 4 to 5 hours every day for 3 years. It would be much more intense than any of our universities. But that is what the early church understood, that the word was about transformation of the soul. Amen. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke. Isn't that amazing? That's a word we need to learn in the church, to rebuke somebody. Exhort with all long sufferings and teachings. For the time will come when the church will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, meaning the church will move away from the doctrines of Jesus and they will preach what they want to hear. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, meaning they will bring these teachers in to teach what they want to hear, not what the Bible is saying. Sounds like a lot of denominations. They preach to, there's denominations that have breaks within their denominations so that they can basically let anybody in. So they'll have one sect is of their denomination is for people that are in the gay lifestyle. Another sect is for those that are, you know, into whatever else. And then they have their denomination for, those that are a little more serious. And it amazes me. It's not really about truth. It's about giving anybody or everybody what flavor that they want. And I thought to myself, wow, why would I be part, or why would anybody want to be part of that type of thought process? Because it's really about money and it's not about the truth. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And if we look at that word fable there, it literally means fairy tales. They will teach the Bible in a way that it's not even what's meant to be said. So these teachers will come in and preach what the people want to hear, not what God is saying. But you, be watchful in all things, endure. Now, that word watchful actually in the Greek doesn't mean to watch. It literally means to be awake, meaning if you're caught asleep, you won't understand what's happening. But it's happening all around us right now within the church, within the body of Christ, all over the world. But be awake in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. So isn't it interesting that our ministry is fulfilled when we begin to understand what is being said, and we are to do the work of the ministry. We're to do the work of the evangelist, meaning every one of us should be out winning souls. And we have to ask ourselves a very simple question. When is the last time we won somebody to Christ? Or are we so dead that nobody wants to follow us anyway? Are we really a light? Are we really bringing people in? You know, I hear it all the time. Well, you know, I told them this and I told them that. And when I'm listening to what they're telling the individual, I realize they're not even talking about the Bible. They're talking about their opinion. And that is by people that spend time in my ministry up to even anywhere from 3 to 5 hour services, and they still can't give people the word. What does that tell you about an individual? They can learn everything else, but they can't learn the word of God. So what is that? It's a spirit. It's a spirit that has taken God's word and really diluted it in their life that, well, I don't need all this. This is too serious. And the excuses that are made, instead of dealing with things, they never do. But you, be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. Interesting. Paul is likening his life to a drink offering. This is in the temple. They would literally pour the drink offerings out on the side of the altars, in the Jewish side of the temple ministry, in order to reveal where things were being poured out in the ministry before the Holy Spirit and before the Lord. And I began to realize Paul was saying something here. He was really saying, I'm being poured out. I'm being poured out to give others something to drink before my time is up. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, you know, it's interesting. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He didn't say, well, when I prayed the sinner's prayer, Jesus did everything for me at the cross, so I didn't have to do nothing. All I was a lazy Christian, sat at home, never preached to anybody, never kept the fire of God in me. No, he didn't say any of that. As a matter of fact, he says quite the opposite. He said that every day he had to pick up his cross and follow Christ. Meaning what Jesus did on the cross, Paul said, he was required by Jesus to die himself also on a daily basis. Isn't that an interesting concept? Man, that just blows the grace message out of the water. Again, I said it last week, Sapphira and Ananias. If grace is for all of us, then why were Sapphira and Ananias killed for lying to the Holy Spirit? We have people that go to church on Sundays, but the night before, they're hanging out in the bars, they're drinking, they're doing drugs. Far worse than what Sapphira and Ananias did. But yet, they're not dying. I wonder why. Could it be is because that the power of God isn't in the church anymore? The glory of God is not in the church. And I have a feeling when we see that glory come back into the church, all the lies, the fabrications, the things that people make excuses for are going to be dealt with severely, like they did in the early church, like Sapphira and Ananias. Literally, Peter, without anybody telling him, without knowing a thing, where the Holy Spirit spoke to him and told him what they did, he just prophesied out what was the judgment. And I believe that we really are coming back into that time. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Isn't that interesting that Paul says that there is going to be a crown of righteousness? And, you know, righteousness is a word that's really not that hard to understand. It means right understanding. Meaning Paul was saying, I understand what the Lord was trying to teach me. I understand what I was called to do. I understand what God wanted me to do. And I'm going to wear this crown. In Hebrew thought, and also in the early church teaching, the crown isn't literally, I mean, we're not going to walk around with crowns on our heads. I mean, why would we all be walking around heaven like a bunch of kings and, oh, well, look at me. I got 10 crowns and look at me, I got 7 crowns. And by the way, how would that work? How would we get, you know, all these crowns on our heads? Clearly, it's not talking about, see, crowns in the early church thinking are mindsets, things that we have been healed of in our mind, where our mind is transformed, our mind is changed. We leave those old ways of thought, and our mind has been renewed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't think even God wears a crown in the literal. Why would he need one anyway? I think everybody that will ever get to heaven will know who he is the first second they get there. I don't think he needs to wear a crown to say, hey, look at me, I'm the boss up here, I'm the king. No, I think when we see him in all of his majesty and all of his glory, that literally we'll know instantly, hallelujah, who he is. Because in reality, hallelujah, he's the creator of all things. Everybody that I've ever spoke that died went to heaven and was fortunate enough to be able to see enough of what heaven's about and then come back, they all say the same thing. You know where the glory is coming from. It's coming from the Father. It's coming from the throne. It's something that nobody ever who dies wants to come back. They want to stay. Let's move on with this. I want to get into the book of Jude. This is another one of those books that's smallest book in the Bible, one chapter, right? And literally one chapter, 25 verses, and nobody ever talks about it because it really sort of flies in the face of all I got to do is pray this prayer and I'm going to get in, right? Jude chapter 1, verse 3 said, "Beloved, while I was diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to all the saints." So interesting, it says here, he wanted to write about their common salvation, but now he's saying, you need to fight earnestly. You need to contend. The word contend means to fight for your faith. You need to take your faith serious. Meaning that prayer didn't cut it. These people were now being told by the man of God that you must fight for your salvation. For certain men, and I'll just give you a heads up who these men are, they're pastors because he says it. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, meaning this is a church that has no discernment. These are people that have no discernment, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, meaning these pastors were already condemned to eternity in hell. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness. The word lewdness literally means filthiness, meaning you can do what you want, live the way you want, and the Lord is just going to overlook it. And here we see it right in our face. God is taking it and saying, can't you see this? Are you so asleep? Well, I guess if only 5% of the people in the church are reading the Bible, who would know what these words are saying? I mean, we love to read, but we really don't study. What do these words even mean? They turn the grace of our God into lewdness, filthiness, and deny. See, when you just live the way you want, you deny the Lord Jesus Christ. He says it right here, and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I run to remind you, though you once knew this. See, it's interesting, when we first become born again, the fire is supposed to increase, but for many of us, it goes out. And we don't even bother to chase it back down. We don't even believe when Jesus said, I'd rather have you hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. See, when a person is cold, at least they know it. But see, we have mixed through this grace message the world into the church, and we can't see that it's killing the church. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord gave, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, Egypt afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. Meaning, he said he saved them, but he then destroyed those that he saved. Why? Because of a spirit of disbelief. And what is the spirit of disbelief? It's a lack of faith. And the angels who do not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for judgment of that great day. Meaning, the fallen angels, they had a choice, and they made a wrong choice. Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual morality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also, these dreamers, he's talking about these pastors again. What's a dreamer? Somebody that's just make-believe. Likewise, these dreamers defile the flesh. They reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries. Now, he's not talking about speaking evil like of the president of the United States or you know, the ambassador. He's talking about they speak evil of the apostles and the prophets because they are the dignitaries to the church. They reject authority, meaning they reject the apostles and the prophets who are the high priests and kings to the church. Yet, I see it everywhere. I get letters every day from people that say, well, I don't believe this and I don't believe that. What are they doing? They're speaking evil and rejecting authority. Why? These people have crept into the church. I see who they are. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of what they do not know. Why are they speaking evil? Because they don't understand. But the Lord doesn't let them go because they don't understand. And whatever they knew naturally, like brute beasts, and these things, they corrupt themselves. What are these people like? They're like beasts, meaning the beast is the carnal nature. So the mark of the beast has nothing to do with a chip. It has everything to do with people that don't want to change from their old corrupted minds, mindsets. Woe to them. That's not a good word. When you hear woe to you, you're in trouble. Woe to them, they have gone the way of Cain, have run greedily into the heir of Balaam for profit, and perish in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots at your love feast. Meaning these are lambs that are not worthy of sacrifice. Well, they feast with you without fear. Meaning these people have no fear of God, serving only themselves. It's always about them, what they think, what they believe. They are clouds without water. And as you heard in the past, water in the clouds is rain. In Deuteronomy 32 says, "Let my revelation fall as the rain." So what is rain symbolic of? Revelation to the church. Carried away by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, meaning these people have no fruit in their life, but man, they love to point the finger. Twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Isn't it amazing? They can sneak in, no fear. They're dead. And they just give you their opinions because there is no life in them. Pulled up by the roots, meaning they have no Christ. They do not have Christ in them. They have no root anymore of who Jesus is. They've been plucked out of the garden. Hallelujah. These people do not even belong with us. Raging waves of the sea. Well, when Jesus talks about that, he talks about false teachers foaming up their own shame, wandering stars. Three types of resurrection glory, moon, sun, and stars. But what's wrong with these stars? They wander. They move. Stars are set. They don't move like our sun. We evolve around our sun, of whom is reserved the blackest of darkness forever. Like Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all." Isn't that amazing? Here in the book of Jude, it says that Jesus, it's talking about Enoch, but Enoch is talking about how Jesus is coming back with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment, not on the world. He's coming back to execute judgment on the false teachers, on those that do not take him serious, those that do not have the fear of God. Those are the ones he's coming to execute his judgment against, to convict all of their ungodliness among them, of their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in ungodly ways, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Boy, I've been to a lot of churches where everything that comes out of the pulpit is just flattery, but no fear of God. All flattery. They just say what you want. They tickle your ears because they know if I don't tickle their ears, they'll just come and get somebody else to replace me if I preach the truth. But beloved, remember the words which were spoken by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there would be mockers. The word mocker there means false teachers, false pastors, mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions. Wow. We have churches that are built on divisions, not having the Spirit. He's saying that these people really don't have the Spirit of God. But you, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but on others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. So here we can clearly see why this isn't being taught. Because this scripture actually goes along with all the early church teaching. We're not escaping. The false teachers are going to be judged. They're going to be removed. Jesus is coming back with 10,000s of his saints. Go read the book of Revelations. That's when Jesus comes back with 10,000s of his saints. He's not coming back to remove people. He's coming back to judge the church. If you want to read about it, read about the early church fathers in the first couple hundred years. That's what they said what would happen, that the church would be in such a fallen state that this sloppy agape, everything is fine, tickle, tickle my ears, but yet no truth, no revelation, no seriousness about God, no fear of God. So what is the Lord saying? That he's coming back with his saints to execute judgment, not on the world, but on the church, the hypocrites, those that are not serious, those that don't want to get ready. Let me tell you something. It's more than a prayer, saints. It's more than asking forgiveness, because forgiveness to the early church was asking the Lord for forgiveness and then changing your life. Repentance was an action, and we need to get back to where our actions are the Lord's actions. God is calling for us to move forward, because this time is here. The Lord is getting ready to deal with things in his church and his body. The trumpets are out blowing right now, but who really hears the call? Who really hears the alarm? Who really understands what Joel is saying? It's time. It's time for repentance in the body of Christ. It's time. If you enjoyed today's podcast, partner with us by heading to voh.church/radio. That's voh.church/radio. Your financial gift helps the Voice of Healing Radio bring revelation to God's kingdom and to the nations. Have a testimony or prayer request? Call us at 1-877-440-3737. That's 1-877-440-3737. Or send us an email at radio@voh.church. And don't forget to add VOH Radio on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for your current updates. This is the Voice of Healing Radio with Michael Petrone.